Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Field Notes podcast. We're glad you're listening or watching today. My name is Kate, and these are my co-hosts, Zach and Colette. And today we're actually going to be talking about the topic of worship. And our hope with this episode is that kind of by the end that maybe you have a fresh appreciation or just new light is shed on this beautiful aspect of our faith for you.
Yeah, well, because we were talking about, what are we going to talk about this episode? And we're like, what do we not talk about? Yeah. Because there's so much. How do we narrow it down? And so we're going to try not to be too exhaustive. We're trying to land in a few things that really stood out to us as we were just talking and sharing about our own experiences with this.
Yeah, but kind of what we've brought it down to is we're still going to paint some broad strokes here of like what is worship, but we kind of want to create this picture that makes it exciting to you again. Colette is an excellent musician and a worship leader. Zach is also an excellent musician and leads worship sometimes, but I'm not a musician. But that doesn't mean that worship doesn't affect me and that I don't worship.
Right.
But Zach,
this is for all.
Yes. This is for everybody, worship leaders and non.
Yeah.
But I was going to ask you, Zach, have you noticed a difference when you're preparing to worship, whether it's in front of a small group or a large group, the difference in being prepared, like logistically, like your songs are ready to go, you've practiced them and rehearsed them, versus when you spent time with the Lord before a set?
Yeah, I think they're both important. I think like knowing what you want to articulate musically frees you to experience what God wants to do and to kind of move with what God wants to do. So that's important. Usually really good worship sets are ones where I've just been able to put aside time and just be with God and enjoy him and delight him, because that's what worship is. That way I'm not just faking it, you know?
Right. And I heard a really wonderful worship leader say that this actually changed the way I worship on stage. It's just a continuation of your current conversations with the Lord.
Yeah.
And that actually helped so much, because I was like putting a lot of pressure on, okay, what do I need to bring? And we got to think about the room and who we're singing with, you know, but it really is just a continuation of that conversation you're already having with the Lord. And I think it goes so deep, because then it's just natural. And it's like, I'm just talking straight to you, Lord.
Like, I think it can be easy, maybe, and maybe this is just a byproduct of how, you know, worship has become its own genre of music in the West, you know?
Totally.
And so it's kind of like, oh, you're a worship person, or you're a worship leader.
Right.
Oh, you're a musician, you know, you're a Christian, then this is kind of your thing. And then maybe people that aren't musically inclined, they're kind of like people that sit and watch and participate, but it's kind of like us,
your
it's them.
Thing, my
right,
thing.
Exactly. Where worship, it's just continuing the conversation you have with God. And I think when we boil it down, as we talk about different aspects of it, it's the overflow of our hearts when we behold God.
Yes. That's good.
When we behold his character.
Yeah. And it's not meant to be a spectator event. It's not like, that's kind of what it's become, as we've seen, like it can easily become a performance.
Right.
And we're just like, and whether you're musically inclined or not, whether you're up on the stage or not, we're meant to be engaging with a living God, looking right at him, beholding him, and then it begs a response, and we have to just overflow in worship and song, no matter if you're leading or if you can't carry a tune. Like, it doesn't matter. He wants it.
Psalm 27, it's a lot of us have heard it before, but the one thing have I desired of the Lord, one thing I have sought is just to know him.
Yes.
And so, like, even David, who so many songs and like where he's known for his worship, and he tells us here, like, above those things, he just desires to know God.
Yes.
And he saw worship as a means to that.
Wow. It's beautiful. Yeah. And I love it, because it really truly starts with the Lord. Like, our worship, it doesn't start with us. It starts with God, who he is. And from before the beginning of time, he made it that way, so that constantly he is being worshiped and praised for his nature, for who he is, where he set it up so that there's four living creatures with eyes around and within, constantly beholding him, just getting revelation of who he is, and then exploding from that place of revelation.
Yeah.
Holy, holy, holy. And then elders fall and they cast their crowns, you know? And they're like, we're unworthy, but you're worthy, Lord. And they keep doing it over and over. And then the angels join in and they sing, oh, you're worthy, holy is the Lamb, you know, all these things. And it's like, Jesus loves worship.
It's so much more than a powerful ruler saying, worship me.
Right.
It's like, you know, okay, so I'm going to use this analogy. So when you're saying, we live in Florida. We're 10 miles away from the Atlantic coast.
Praise God.
The Atlantic sunrise is gorgeous. When I tell people to come, when people visit, I'm like, we gotta go see the sunrise. I'm like, it's beautiful. You gotta see this. You gotta see this. That's what God's like doing. He's like, you gotta see this. Like, look how beautiful this is. Look how beautiful I am.
It's not subjective.
Yes.
His beauty and his worth is not subjective. Like, we'll look at other things and we can say that it's beautiful. Other people will have their own opinions.
Right.
The one thing that will never change is God is beautiful and so worth it.
Yeah.
And so, glorious. Absolutely. And that is not subjective. He is the ultimate one of beauty, like the apex of beauty and revelation. Like, and then, of course, we have to worship.
I went through like this little window of time, it's probably only weeks long, where like I was so earnest to like really engage the Lord in worship that every time I closed my eyes, instantly, like in my mind's eye, I would see a sea of glass mingled with fire.
Whoa.
And as I would look around, like you would see like kind of peripheral vision, like crowns being cast down and clattering to the floor.
No big deal.
Yeah. And like so my gaze was never really able to get off the floor of the room. But like every time I closed my eyes in worship, instantly sea of glass, and it was so beautiful, and like I would be moved to tears basically every time. And it's just like, Lord, how magnificent. Like, that's like a cheesy word.
Our words just kind of fall apart.
Yeah. And I love it because it doesn't have to be these exact songs that we sing in this exact way with these four chord progressions like we see in our culture, which is fine because I love it. Like, I love the simplicity. I love the same chord progression for that big bridge. You know, I'm all for it.
Yep. Lord but can use it.
Yeah, totally. But I love how we see the different expressions throughout the ages and the nations that bring their own unique song. And each individual, like, I have my own little songs that no one else knows that I've sung to the Lord, you know?
Right.
And it doesn't sound like the songs we sing on a Sunday morning.
It's beautiful because not only are the people who worship the Lord diverse, but the diversities of expression are also just as broad.
Yes.
Like, there is high praise. Yeah. There is like getting before the Lord in tears. There's dance. Wow. There's like sitting and beholding, like quiet moments with the Lord.
Wow.
But it's all worship, and the Lord loves all of it. And so it's not to say that there's a way that's right or wrong or instruments that he doesn't like to hear or voices he doesn't enjoy listening to. But like, all of it is worship to him. And it, honestly, you can experience like different aspects of who he is through the different methods of worship.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that's not a limiting thing.
I remember in eighth grade, my dad brought me to a Church of Christ. I was actually invited by a dear friend.
Okay.
And I didn't realize that Church of Christ, they don't use instruments in their congregation to worship. And so I went there and I was like, wow, a cappella. Okay. Not my cup of tea, Lord. You know, I love instruments and I love, I don't know, it kind of like made me feel like I was on the spot or like everyone could hear me singing and I wasn't used to that. But I remember in my struggle, you know, I'm trying to sing, I'm singing these hymns that I don't know. And I remember the Lord saying to me during one of the worship sets that if you can worship me here in this context, you can worship me anywhere.
Right.
And so I was like, okay. And I just, honestly, it changed the way I worshiped him from then on. Because then it was like, oh, it's not about me. Like, it is. It's the dance, you know?
Right.
But it's actually about you. And if I can just tune into who you are right now, there's so much truth. And, like, these songs are theologically rich. And I'm like, oh, wow. Doesn't matter if, like, whatever, I don't like the style. Like, focus on the man, you know? Yeah. Focus on
Jesus. That's really good.
And then it was it was a lot easier for me to enter in and be like, oh Lord, you are beautiful. That's even really here where it's like, it seems kind of rigid, you know, but I know every heart, maybe not every heart, but I know these hearts are burning for you, Lord, yeah. Even though it like, you know, because we have in our charismatic expression, it can look very fluffy and like very yep. loud
very,
and like
yeah.
expressive. Yeah. Expressive. And I love that because that's my personality. That's the way I like to express him. I would probably be right there with David, you know, dancing my heart out. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
And, but that's okay if others aren't like that, you know?
Right.
And there is that time and place for just worshiping him quietly or even not even singing at all or
right.
a cappella. It doesn't matter. It's about our heart posture. And that actually helped me so much when I became a missionary in India because, again, plunged into another context that I'm not used to. It's very different. Like the worship in the churches that I went to were very different.
Yeah.
And just to be honest, I was like, oh, okay, Lord, this is hard. The style was different. Instruments are different. The clapping off beat is distracting. You know,
it's just like, I don't agree.
But then as soon as I was like engaged in, with the Lord and realizing once again, it's not about me. And honestly, seeing the honor that I get to join in with a new, another culture that's wow. different from my own, seeing them give their own beautiful expression to the Lord.
Yeah.
And now I willingly listen to it sometimes.
Wow.
And, yeah. And it moves my heart to tears because I'm like, wow, you're worthy of all the nation's worship, every heart, every soul, you know, like he's just so worthy of it. And of course I had my own time with the Lord. When I would open my guitar case, tears would flood my eyes because I'm like, this is my special time with you, Lord. This is our sanctuary. This is our haven. And honestly, the Lord gave me a picture in a dream one time of me being in a bathtub full of water that was completely always regenerating. The water was always being refreshed as long as I stayed there in that place. But it was in the middle of a desert, a dry, cracked desert, like the most dry place I've ever seen.
Wow.
And the Lord said, this is our time together and it will keep you sustained wherever you're at, you know? And so it's beautiful what worship does because it is for us.
Yeah.
And it is for the Lord, but it also does something to the atmosphere around us and to the principalities.
I mean, the city we lived in, it was a very high mosque per capita. Like, say, like
you. Yeah, you look out over the skyline and there's mosques everywhere. And then they all go off kind of at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's a little dissonant because they're not totally synced. But five times a day, you just kind of hear the sort of sing-songy call to prayer.
And it's not
off,
just.
And it just. You can hear it in every house
and the thing
because
is
it's going off everywhere.
Right.
And it's not just random like words. They're speaking like who they believe to be God is.
Wow.
And it's, you know,
they're
God
speaking
is one,
identity over who they're worshiping.
Right.
Exactly. God is one, Muhammad is his prophet.
Right.
They're agreeing with a reality that's not true. And the thing is, you know.
That creates a very dense atmosphere
because there's spiritual darkness that has power.
Yeah.
Yes. So
it has authority
in places in the earth that, you know, have that spiritual darkness. When you go and worship the Lord, in my mind's eye, maybe this is silly, I see kind of like this dense fog and you're like puncturing a hole in it and the Lord's light is shining through.
Yes, absolutely.
And so you're disrupting whatever
is
there.
Because they've been agreeing with principalities. So strongholds are set up through agreeing with something.
Yes.
And they've been agreeing, like you said, with the enemy
and
over a whole region.
And this,
for centuries.
Like, this isn't true. You're saying.
We come in.
Yeah.
And then that sword breaks through and you're like, I'm agreeing with truth.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's like, it's so much more powerful. Because you are agreeing with the King of Kings.
Yeah.
And he's enthroned on our praises.
Yes.
And so that actually means, like, legally, that every other name has to bow.
Exactly.
And they have to submit. And they will submit. And it's like,
so they don't get a choice.
It's true. So if you believe and you move your life in accordance to a lie, it will have power and it will have weight. And if if that power that you're acknowledging, you know, like, is an authority, like you're giving it power by agreeing with it, you know? But when you agree with the power that's over that, that's what you're just talking about.
Yeah.
It's it's literally, it's the ultimate like trump card, man. Yeah.
So it's okay that there's not a lot of believers coming together to worship his name in that place.
It's important that there's at least a few though.
But yes. The fact that there are some or yes. a few or two or three even mm-hmm. delights him so much yeah. and actually literally makes a difference. Wow. There's
really good.
There's a man named Ray Hughes who is a musician and he loves the Lord. He has done some speaking and teaching here in the States, but he does this teaching on sound waves and like scientifically, I don't know this exact science, but sound waves literally disrupt the atmosphere around them. We don't see them, we don't feel them, but sound waves are doing something.
Yes.
And so literally every sound we make, if it's our voice, if I knock on this table, the atmosphere is disrupted in a small manner. Ooh. So when we lift our voices to the Lord or when we like play our instruments and worship him, literally the sound vibrations are disrupting the atmosphere around us.
Wow.
So
beautiful.
Basically, yes, worship simply when you is agreeing and responding to God. But there's so much that happens when we do that.
Yes. It's so awesome because this actually happens in every worship context, no matter the religion. But as you sing together in a group of people, your heartbeats sync.
Right.
Because you're taking breaths at the same time. And your heartbeats actually become one.
That's
and
so cool.
It's so amazing that the Lord made it that way. He's like, his desire we see in John 17 was for us to behold him, that we would be one with him. And that we would be one with each other. Yeah. And literally
he
worship sets
unity.
The stage for all of that.
Yeah.
And so he actually breathes unity onto all of us and in us as we come before him in the place of worship and song. And it's like, it really actually matters to the Lord.
Like that doesn't happen by accident.
No,
he actually designed it that way.
He really did. Like our little song moves the heart of God, the maker of all things.
Yeah.
Who is seated on the throne.
Crazy.
Has and all the authority.
It moves God's heart and it shakes things. I remember I would wake up sometimes at 4 a.m. and I would realize, oh, the call to prayer is going off. And I would just feel like this kind of grace just to go worship.
Mm.
And realizing that as thousands of speakers were saying something wrong and literally like blaspheming the beautiful one that we know is Lord and our Lord and Savior, I got to, you know, just play a few chords and sing to Jesus and say that you are Lord.
Yes. Mm.
You are God. You are creator of all things.
Mm-hmm.
You are worthy. You are worthy of his people.
Yeah.
No other ideology, no other principality is worthy. You are worthy. Mm-hmm. And not just feeling just the joy of actually being able to give that to God, but actually realizing that it was shaking things. Like and how that light, it's like that stabbing that light into the atmosphere that actually was doing something.
Yeah.
Worship is also an offensive tool in proclaiming the beauty and worth of Jesus over the earth.
Yes, that's
really good.
It's, perhaps the best one.
I would. I tend to agree with that.
How do you change a mind? I think it's like, it was so much more spiritual than we thought. You know, like lifting up his name in worship truly affected our evangelism. We had to lift up the name of Jesus so that the other names would have to bow.
Yeah. We saw enough of like an actual difference. And when we would do evangelism with people, like talking to people, when we had like prayed and worshiped together first versus when we hadn't, like we saw enough difference between the two that we actually made it part of our rhythm is, oh, we don't want to go out and try to do evangelism out of our own efforts and strength unless we've gone and worshiped the Lord and beheld him and sat at his feet. And even just like in our sharing, it like, not in a bad way, but it animated it more because we were like, we had been connected again.
Yes.
With the Lord and like recently
so much
sat
to
at his
so
feet. And so we were more excited to share.
Absolutely.
And so it's multifaceted on that. I think you almost got onto this earlier, but it's like worship is all of these things and like the sound and the throne room and all of that. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, to kind of like single it in here, narrow it down our focus, we are priests before the Lord.
Yes.
Not priests like dressed up in the robes and we got the hat and the scepter. Yeah. We're not that kind of priest. But just in the simplest like terms, like priest means like a mediator mm-hmm. before God and man. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 2:9 is you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Wow. And that's worship. Yes. That's proclaiming the excellencies. It's worshiping the Lord.
Ministering to him.
It doesn't say that, hey, I'm putting priests among you. I'm putting worship leaders among you. Like, worship with them mm-hmm. or listen to their worship.
Right. Yeah.
But it's, you are a priest. And yes. You are a priest. And I am a priest. And right. we are created to worship the Lord, to proclaim his excellencies in the earth.
And behold him, know him, respond to that, and carry that to the ends of the earth. Carry that to your neighborhood. Carry mm-hmm. that in your workplace.
Yeah.
Carry that in your community.
So good.
I love being out in creation. I just grew up always being out in the woods and the mountains and, and doing outdoor recreation. But seeing all the things that moves my heart in creation, that is contained in this frame that the elders are throwing their crowns before.
Wow.
Every single thing that moves my heart that I see in creation, whether it's how he creates humanity, beauty, love, feelings, emotions, passion, the essence, if you could take all that and reduce it down to this drop and put it, that is the person.
Wow. Mm.
That is the person of God. That is what's in the throne room right now.
And there's no end to that beauty.
No.
And so it's like, there's going to be times where we feel bored. There's been plenty of times where I feel bored in worship and guilty. I'm just like, Lord, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Show me. Yeah. Fascinate my heart again.
Yeah.
Because I know you are of ultimate fascination and of ultimate beauty.
Yeah.
And so there's so much more.
Like, I'm submitting my emotions to you. Let them reflect who you are.
Yes.
You know.
And he'll do it.
Yeah.
He can't help it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
He'll show us.
That's so good.
So good. Oh. We get to give him our worship.
Wow.
Even in the midst of pain and even in the midst of only seeing partly.
Wow.
And
it's good.
And the thing is, like, that is a gift because we get to actually experience what love means. Love doesn't have to see in order to trust.
Yeah, and just like, think about the rewards that will be given when you poured out your oil in the midst of that horrible situation, in the midst of your heartache, in the midst of sickness, brokenness, death, whatever it is.
So good. So just as the Father delighted in glorifying the Son who submitted himself to death, God wants to do that for us. He wants us to be able to walk in the footsteps of Jesus.
Yeah.
So that
we can only do it right now.
And right now. Jesus became weak. He set aside his glorious raiments of authority and beauty and became a man.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we get the joy of walking as he walked, you know? In weakness, in humility, choosing love, choosing relationship, even in the midst of pain, and
when
it's hard, it is a gift to worship him, even when we don't feel like it.
Yes,
even when everything around us is screaming that's not true.
Right,
God isn't that beautiful.
Right.
He's not that good. Mm. His character isn't what you're saying it is.
Wow. Or even you're too busy for that today.
Yeah,
wow.
Like he's not worthy of that.
Wow.
We get to push through that, and so I think it's a really good place to land.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've said enough words, but on that note, Colette, would you just pray for us?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Really quickly.
Yeah. Yes, Lord, we love you, and we love that you set this thing up called worship.
Yeah.
Lord, you are so beautiful and worthy of it, and we love that you've given us glimpses of the throne room. You've given us feelings, Lord. You've touched our emotions and our heart, Lord.
Yeah.
We just even thank you for the gift that it is to worship you this side of heaven. Lord, I love that song that says, when I see your face, I'll wish I'd given more away. Mm. And Lord, I hold that closely today, knowing that that it's an actual gift to worship you in the midst of our circumstances and just the nature of life that goes up and down, Lord, that we get to worship you in the valley and on the mountain. and that your nature just shines through, yeah. Lord, that you are always good, Lord. You are always beautiful. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would help us and our listeners, Lord, just to tune into who you are, Lord, through the word, through worship today, and from this time forward, God, that we would see the importance and the value in lifting up your name in worship and connecting with your heart through the place of song.
Yeah.
And I just thank you, God, that you listen, you hear us as we gather together as an assembly and as we shut the door and just have our one-on-one time with you, God, that you are right there, that you are just adoring it, Lord, that you love it, you delight in us. And we just thank you for this. And we just ask that it would be written on our hearts, Lord, that your nature would continually be revealed to our hearts and open up our eyes, Jesus, as we open up the scriptures, open up our eyes, Lord, so that we can respond appropriately and worship you, Jesus. We love you and we just thank you for this time. Fill our hearts with praise, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. That was good. Thank you guys for tuning in. And, you know, don't worry, because 2 weeks from now, we got another episode coming at you.
Oh, yeah.